starting a new series. Pete asked me if I was starting a new series. Yes, Pete, I am. So, first we're going to hear the Bible reading, and then I'll tell you what I'm going to talk about the next few times that I'm talking. So we're going to hear from the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, and Mike is going to read for us. Thank you, Mike.
Good morning. These are from the words of Moses from the Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord, the God, has directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the border Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God, as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commandments that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land, flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord your God of your ancestors promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of the houses on which are your gates. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, yes.
Thank you, Mike. So last week, David and I went to experience Adam's Christmas present to us. So it's not the Christmas we just had, it's the one before. It's taken us that long to organise ourselves. We went to, he said he would pay for us to go to an arcade place in Manchester that was full of, as he put it, old arcade games. I think he means arcade games from our youth, you know, like Pac-Man and what else did we do? Frogger and things like that. So we went round and we played a few. Interesting place. So one of the ones we did was the pinball machine. Do you remember pinball machines? Yeah, so you've got a big machine in front and you've got buttons on the side and these balls are whizzing around and your job is to keep the balls in play. You've got two buttons and little flippers and your job is to keep the balls going. I have to be honest and say a lot of the time I wasn't entirely sure what was happening. The machine kept flashing and lights were going and sirens were going off and the score was going up, but I've no real great idea what was happening. All I was focusing on was watching the ball come down and tried desperately just to keep it going. And at one point then, for some reason that I've no idea, suddenly two or three extra balls appeared. So then it was just complete chaos. And you feel like you're being a bit bombarded because the balls are coming and your job is just to keep them up going around. I wonder sometimes if life feels a bit like that, that things are happening to us. We're maybe not entirely sure where it's come from, what the implications are going to be. We can feel bombarded by things with our health and our finance, with our family, with things in the world, with choices we've got to make, with situations we're not expecting. I think we can also feel bombarded by information, by images, by hacks and new ways to do things, by just endless choice of what to do and how to do it, what decisions to make. How do we keep up with everything? How do we protect ourselves from the lies, from the harmful things in our world, and keep our focus on the right things? Well, I've heard several things recently about the importance and the value of memorising Bible verses, of having God's word stored in our minds. So that's what my series is going to be for the next few weeks. Well, not next few weeks because I don't preach every week. For the next however long I'm preaching for, we're going to have a look at some Bible verses that I think are really good for us to learn, to memorise, to have deep within us. So when we're bombarded by things, we've got some of God's truth that's going to help us. But this week, because it's the first week of my series, we're going to just look at why it's important to memorise, look at the benefits, why it's a good thing to put our effort into doing. That's why we had this reading that Mike read to us from Deuteronomy. So the Israelites are on the edge of the promised land for the second time. They got to the edge of this land that God had promised them, and then they bottled it. And then they ended up wandering around in the desert for 40 years, learning how to be God's people. They get to the edge for the second time, and Moses, who's not going in with them, is preparing this new generation to live as God's people amongst people who believe different things and live differently. Does that sound familiar? I very much feel that we live amongst people who have a very different way of approaching life to us. One of the crucial things that Moses was saying is how they respond to God's word and how they include it in their lives is going to be a massive tool to help them live as God's people in this new land. But of course, those of you who know me know that my series is always come with a book attached as well. So the book that's going with this is called, it's by Robert J. Morgan, 100 Bible Verses That Everyone Should Know By Heart. I'm not saying I'm preaching 100 sermons on this, and we're certainly not looking at all 100 this morning. But it's a really good book about why and how it's helpful to learn the Bible, but also some verses to learn if we want to know where to start. So in his book, Robert talks about several benefits to memorising, to learning, to having stored in our mind God's word. He talks about it being a shopping spree for the mind, a chance to collect and store up treasures that we can enjoy for years. You don't need a credit card. You're not going to get in trouble for coming home with extra things. We can go on a free shopping spree, collect and store up treasures. He talks about how it makes scripture available day and night, wherever we are, without the need to carry anything with us. And then one of his favourite quotes, one of my favourite quotes that he said, memorising the Bible is like painting the inside of our mind with God's colours, one brushstroke at a time. I love that. There's a lot goes on in our minds. There's a lot that happens that affects how we live and how we think about ourselves and how we relate to the world. Imagine painting it with God's colours. And that's the basis for how we live. When we're bombarded by so many thoughts and images, attitudes and opinions, anything we can do to guard and protect our minds from harmful things is surely worth doing. When we learn a Bible verse, it goes into our memories, then into our conscious mind, and then into our subconscious mind. I bet you've got some song words there. But if you hear the song from your youth, you know, the songs that you listen to loads. But if you hear the introduction to some songs, you're just straight in. Maybe not with every word, but most of the words. Sometimes the harmonies, the extra little bits. That's because they're buried deep in our minds. And they're just there. There for when we hear them again. So when we get God's word into those bits of our minds, it shows up in the way we think and feel and talk and act, the way we respond to what's happening, the way we respond as things happen and as people treat us in different ways. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Our thoughts are seeds that produce crops and fruit. So it's important that we're cultivating the right seeds. But I'm not talking about positive thinking. I'm not talking about having a mantra. I'm not talking about manifesting something. I'm talking about basing our thoughts on God's truth. Not something we've created ourselves, something that God of the universe, his words. That's what we're talking about, basing our thoughts on. I discovered when I was preparing this that the Magnificat, Mary's hymn of praise, you know, when she's just found out she's going to be pregnant with God's son, Mary's hymn of praise is largely made up of verses from the Old Testament. I'd never noticed that before. Presumably ones that she'd memorised. So on that great occasion when something just unbelievable had happened, the first words out of her mouth were words that she knew, God's words that she'd memorised. I wonder if you've ever had a time when you've been encouraged, challenged, sustained by a Bible verse. We've had some great pods nights where people have shared a verse and the situation that that has really helped them in. So fabulous to hear. Let me tell you one of mine. So my final year at university, for the Christmas, I was given a calendar with Bible verses on it. A different one for each month. So in the month that I was really stressed because it was exam season and there was a lot riding on the exams and all my friends were deep in exam season and there was the kind of what's going to happen next and what happens when I finish my degree and then I'm out in the big wide world. So in the middle of all that pressure and worry and work and is it all going to be worth it, the verse on the calendar that month was from John 14, verse 27. Jesus, talking to his disciples, was preparing them for the future. And he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." Those were really helpful words for my exam time. But they were also times since then. They've been a great reminder that Jesus gives me his peace. That I don't have to find it myself. I don't have to panic in the situation. That Jesus gives me his. And what he has to give me is truly amazing. It's great to share our Bible verses with each other and great to share the story that goes with it of how God's word, the truth that it contains, has it helped us be strong, helped us be peaceful, helped us find joy, helped us know we're forgiven, helped us find hope to face each day. So it's good to read it. It's good to memorize God's word because it affects how we think and act and feel. So how do we do that? Well, let's have a look at Moses' advice from Deuteronomy 6. So I'm just going to read you some of the verses. These are some tips to help us memorize God's word. Verse 6, Moses said, "These commandments are to be on your hearts." It's not just about knowledge. We're not learning something to pass an exam. It's about them affecting how we think and feel. It's about deepening our relationship with God, about deepening what we know about him, finding out more about what he's like. These commandments are to be on our hearts, they're to affect us, not just learn them because we're learning them parrot's fashion just for the sake of it. Verse 7 said, "Impress them on your children." In other words, these are so important, it's worth passing on and sharing with those that we care most about. Also in verse 7, it said, "Talk about them when you sit and walk, when you lie down, when you get up." In other words, they're for all parts and times of the day. It's about keep on repeating them. There's something really powerful about saying them out loud. What we hear, not just in our head, but what we hear through our ears, really affects the little pathways in our brain. You know, when you get to a field and nobody's walked across it and you go across, or if you get to a field and 25 people have walked and there's a path going there. Our brain works like that. And it makes little shortcuts. And the more we hear things, the more those little shortcuts, the deeper and stronger and more obvious they are. So hearing it, saying them to ourselves at all different times of the day, creates those pathways in our brain that just make it much more powerful inside our minds. Verse 8, Moses said, "Tie them as symbols on your hands and your foreheads." In other words, take them with you. Take them with you. Somehow, carry God's word with you as you go about our day. Verse 9, write them on the door frames of our houses and on your gates. In other words, I think that means put them where you're going to see them every day. Maybe it's on the screen of your phone. Maybe it's a little post-it by the kettle. Maybe it's on a bookmark. Maybe you've got YouVersion, that free Bible app. So it means you've got it there and you can open it and there's the ones. And you can save and highlight the verses that are really significant for you at the moment. It's really easy to create a verse and an image to make a nice picture to have on your phone. And then you can share it or you've got it there to look at. So it's about taking them with us. It's about having it there where we see it. It's about saying them out loud. Robert in his book also talks about learning the reference as part of the verse. That's the thing I'm not really good at. I can often say, "Oh, I think it's in this book and it's roughly here," but I'm not as good at learning the reference to go with it, but that's a good tip. He talks about reviewing and reviewing and keep going over them, keeping them fresh in our minds. And he talks about finding little tricks, little ways to remember, little patterns in the phrases that just help them stay in our mind. It's all very active, isn't it? Moses was encouraging the Israelites to choose to include God's word in their lives, to take notice of it. It's the same for us. It doesn't happen by chance. It doesn't happen by having a beautiful Bible on the shelf at home. It doesn't happen by having the Bible app. It doesn't happen because we think it's just going to magically appear in our minds. We have to choose to do this, choose to put effort in, choose to take the time to do it. Maybe that's a reminder to carry on. Perhaps you're somebody who already knows lots of verses. Well, maybe this isn't just a reminder, an encouragement that it is so worth doing. Keep on. Perhaps it's an encouragement to start a new practice for this year. So then there's where to start. There's a lot of verses, there's a lot of books, there's lots of amazing words in God's Bible. So where do we start? Well, I've just picked one verse for today. It's not in the bit we read. It's a bit from Proverbs. But I think as we're looking at it, it's important, as we said, we're memorising it because it's going to have impact on us. We're not learning random words. We're not plucking a verse out of context and making it mean something else. We're not trying to pass an exam or impress somebody. We're learning God's word because it affects us, because it feeds us, because we've got it to share with other people. So we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to just read you a few verses. It says this: "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they'll prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." So this is not Moses, although the first bit sounded similar, didn't it? This is Solomon. Solomon, who when he became king, God asked him said, "You can ask him, ask me for something. What do you want as you become king?" And Solomon asked for wisdom. God made him very wise, the wisest person perhaps in the Bible. Solomon asked for wisdom. He wrote Proverbs to help people live wisely. It covers all sorts of topics: discipline, family life, relationships, wealth, immorality. He emphasises that knowing God is the key to wisdom. So he started that passage with a bit of an echo of Deuteronomy 6. Keep God's word, keep it fresh, learn it, remember it, have it there in front of you. But then he goes on to the verse that we're going to look at today. Some of you may know this verse already, but it's worth just having another look at. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Verse 5. So we're going to look at it just in little bits. That's how I learn something. I don't try and learn the whole long thing. I learn a little bit and then try add it on. That's what we do at school, learning a song. We learn a little bit and add on the other bits. So we're going to look at trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Do you know what? Let's say it together. Are you ready? Trust in the Lord. A bit more oomph. Trust in the Lord. How do you learn to trust someone? By seeing them keep their promises. I think we knew as children growing up from experience that if my mum ever said, "If you do that again, this will happen," that it absolutely would happen. We knew that because that happened time and again. Our classic family story is that there's four of us. We've got two brothers and a sister. So we were all crammed in the car and we were on our way home from somewhere. Can't remember where. And my brothers, who are twins, were jostling in the back. And mum said to them, "If you carry on doing that, you will walk home." I was obviously just sat quietly, minding my own business. I was not part of it on that occasion. But do you know what? Sure enough, a few minutes later, the car pulled up by the side of the road. The door was opened. My brothers were deposited on the pavement. And mum and the car and me drove off. And I have to say, they were old enough to walk home. And we weren't miles away. So she'd been wise. She wasn't cruel, but we absolutely knew. And that's our classic family story. In fact, I was telling mum and dad I was saying that. And they said, "Oh, you're going to say about Andrew and John walking home?" Yes. Absolutely, I am. We knew that if mum said, "If you do that, this will happen," that it absolutely would happen. We'd learnt to trust her word because we'd experienced it time and time again. And we can build up this same trust with God. Many accounts in the Bible of God making promises and keeping them. Not long celebrated Christmas. How many promises are there in there? To Mary about what was going to happen, to Joseph and how it was going to play out, to Simeon and Anna, who were waiting at the temple because God had promised them that they would meet the consolation, the Messiah. The shepherds were told how it would work, and it was exactly as they were told. It all happened in the way that God promised that it would. As we experience God, our trust in him can grow. And we're trusting in him, not a thing, not a routine, not a habit, not a sudden way of doing things. We're trusting in God that we can have a relationship with. So that's the first part of the verse, trust in the Lord. Then it says, with all your heart. We've got trust in the Lord with all your heart. Can we say all that? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Wholehearted, I looked it up, means completely and sincerely devoted. So in my, it means putting everything in. Do you know, when we're watching a football match, we want to know they've tried, don't we? What we don't like is them just dancing around as if they're not putting any effort in. We want to know, even if our team lose, we want to know that they've tried, that they've really gone for the ball. They've really tried to get the ball. They've really tried to score. Children in my music classes, some of them try when I'm watching, and then they stop when they think I'm not watching, and they don't realise that as teachers we can see them when we're not even looking at them. That's not wholehearted, is it? That's trying a little bit just to show that you're trying a little bit. But some children do everything, full of gusto all the way through. They're the ones that make the classes worth doing because you can see their enjoyment, you can see their desire to learn, and you can see how what they do helps everybody else. God wants us to trust him all the time in every situation, not just sometimes when it's easy. He wants us to learn to trust him with all our heart all the time. It's got to be a process. I don't think we wake up and suddenly we're full of trust for everything. I think it's a process. I think we gradually trust him with a bit, and then we trust a bit more, and then we see that he's faithful and we can trust a bit more. It's like building up a muscle. It takes time. It takes us recognising what God's doing, and it builds up as we practice trusting him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And the final bit says, lean not on your own understanding. Can we go for the whole verse? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So to lean is to put your whole weight on something. So most weeks I see my parents on a Friday. We go to Wigan Park and we walk around in the park. Me and Dad and Emma, when she's with us, we particularly look out for the dogs to stroke. It's a definite bonus. And there's some, of course, you get to know because we see them lots of times. So there's a group of three that we see quite a bit, including Stanley the Greyhound. So Stanley the Greyhound is lovely. Is that nice height? You don't have to bend down to stroke, but not so massive he's going to knock you over. Bonus. But when he comes up for a stroke, he comes to us to stroke, but he doesn't just stand in front of us. He leans on us. He leans right in. Whoever you are, he just leans right on. And I feel like if I took a step back, he would fall over. He's that leaning in, ready for his stroke. Maybe he's trying to stop us walking away. That's what this is talking about. It's talking about leaning, putting our weight on, not relying solely on ourselves. It's so easy to look for answers within ourselves, to work it out ourselves, to solve it, to deal with it in our own strength, to carry all the responsibility. This is an invitation from God to lean and rely on him, because he knows more, because he can carry the weight, because he's not overwhelmed like we get at times. It's an invitation to trust him and let him carry the weight of some of our burdens. It's not weak to trust in God. And it doesn't mean we don't do anything about it. We're just starting to look at Emma. We're being encouraged to look at what Emma's going to do after the summer. Look at a job. And we are absolutely confident that God has, as he has done so far, has a provision and a plan that will help her to thrive. We are absolutely confident of that. But it doesn't mean we sit back and do nothing and wait for it just to appear. We talk, we look, we pray, We ask questions, we look at things, we discuss things. It's a balance, isn't it, there? We're not sitting back and saying, okay, God, it's completely up to you, I'm doing nothing here, let me know when you're done. But we're not taking it all on ourselves to manoeuvre things and manipulate it. It's a tricky balance. Tricky balance. But it's about that invitation to allow God to be in it with us, to rely on him, to know that his plans are the best plans. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Do you know the pinball machine was a bit of fun? Doesn't really matter. I'm quite sure how well we did in the scheme of things in terms of everybody else's high scores. Might have been nice if we'd understood a little bit more what was happening. We had a bit of fun. The only thing about it was that David got a higher score than I did. That's the downside of it. Although I was far better on the dancing machine. David's pulling a face, but that's true, I was far better. But do you know, our lives are not a game that we walk away from. Our lives are not a competition. It's much more important than getting a high score or proving something to yourself or somebody else. Our lives, our well-being, our worship, our witness are crucial. Having God's word in our minds and our hearts is a huge help as we thrive, as we seek to serve him in this world. So, final time, let's say together, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Here we go. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And if you want an extra bit of challenge this week, then go for the next verse. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Amen. What I have done is I have made a little image with those words on. I'm going to send it to David to put on the church WhatsApp group, and then anybody who wants that can have it on their phone. If you don't like my picture, you can go to YouVersion and make your own picture. That's up to you. We're going to pray, but before we do that, we're going to sing. We're going to sing, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's just a reminder. These words are from Psalm 119, a reminder that the Bible is powerful and it makes a difference to us as we live. Let's stand and sing this together. So we're going to take a few minutes to pray. I don't know how your trusting's going at the moment. I don't know what you feel bombarded by. But I know you know, and I know God knows. So we're just going to take a little bit of time, a bit of space. I'm going to just say a few things and then leave a bit of space for you to be reflecting with God, to listen to what he has to say to you this morning about your situations. Also for you to, in your heart, tell him what you want to tell him. Let's pray. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Lord God, we thank you for this invitation to lean on you, to trust you, to deepen our relationship with you. Thank you that you're not overwhelmed or not surprised by the things that we're facing. Thank you, there's nothing beyond you. Thank you that when we lean on you, you stay firm. Lord God, in the silence in our hearts, we think about our lives and the situations that we need to trust you in at the moment, for our health, for our finances, for our family, for those we love who don't know you yet, for the decisions we've got to make, different for each of us, Lord. In this time, we think about those situations and ask you to help us trust you more in the middle of it. Lord, wherever we are in our journey with you, whether we're just discovering you for the first time, whether we stepped away and we're coming back, whether we've known you for a long time, Lord, we pray for each of us, you can help us learn how to trust you with all our heart, to take steps closer to you, to see more of you, to include you more in what's happening. Forgive us, Lord, for those times that we lean on ourselves. We feel it's all up to us. When either the problem just blinds us to you being there, whether we think it's just up to us to solve it, whether when we forget to ask you and include you. Lord, forgive us for those times when we struggle on our own, when you're waiting to help. Well, Lord, we bring you those people and situations in the world that concern us. Friends having a hard time. Unrest and war and hatred across the world. Decisions being made that affect so many people. Lord, we pray you'll show us when to act, when to speak and what to say, when to be silent, when to wait. And Lord, we pray that you'll give us the eyes to recognise your work, your hand in all these situations. Help us to see what you're doing because we've prayed. And we pray that will give us confidence to trust you even more. Lord, we pray for a fresh passion for your word, a fresh desire to read it, to think about it, to absorb it, to share it. We pray as we read it, we'll come with expectation that you will speak to us, to challenge us, to encourage us, to lift us up, to inspire us. Help it not to be a chore, but a privilege, a delight, a treasure. And Lord, we know that our conversation with you now is just the start. Help us to keep hearing you. Help us to keep seeing you. Help us to grow closer to you. Lord, we bring you all our prayers, our thoughts and our words and our feelings. We bring them to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So if you didn't know that verse already, I just encourage you to think about it through the week, to do what Moses said, maybe not fasten it to your forehead, but find some other way of keeping it with you.